I ain't ever gonna podcast again. Guilty feet, we should have podcasted on Sunday.
Oh, we're very naughty.
It ain't easy to pretend that it's Tuesday now. I don't know where I'm going with the rest of it. Tom Matt Attack. George Michael aside, we're a little bit sorry. We've been naughty boys and we haven't podcasted on time this week, purely because we're both busy. We both have busy lives.
So social obligations.
Social obligations, yeah. We actually attended a Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, yeah, you didn't. You were ill. I apologise, but I attended a Thanksgiving dinner and Thomas was ill. How are you feeling now?
I was rough, you know. You know it is when you're rough.
With a capital R.
And you're not able to attend such a lovely event as I've heard it was.
It was okay. We had cake and Pop-Tarts and a Sunday roast.
And Pop-Tarts.
And Pop-Tarts.
But no, I didn't have it in me last weekend. Yeah, a bit lacking in the old energy department, as I am still.
On the ramp up to Christmas.
Yes. But I have managed to force myself to play at least one or two video games.
Sounds like it was agony.
Last few days. No, it was fine. I completed Toy Box Turbos.
You did. You finally got it working again.
Yeah, that was a minor frustration. Well, a major frustration. I think when a game is so broken you cannot play what you've paid for, it's
a bit naughty, shall we say.
It was... We mentioned this, did we? Can't remember.
We did, yes. Yeah, we have mentioned this in the podcast that it was broken.
Yeah, it was because the latest patch for the game messed it up. And so you couldn't play it, basically.
Which is a shame, because it's a good game.
After hammering the Facebook page and the Twitter
Twitters.
Account, no response.
Yeah,
it
no
took,
response.
Someone else's response on Facebook in order for me to get the answer I was looking for, which was... Something I had mulled over in my head. Why don't I just delete the game and reinstall it?
Yeah, and you still kept your saves and stuff.
I still kept my saves and was able to do the last few races that I hadn't done, the tougher ones, but I went for it. And it's the first game on the PlayStation 3 that I have got all trophies for.
Platinumed?
No.
No, it's gold in it.
Yeah, I don't get a platinum for
it. Oh, that's a shame.
Why? How do you get a platinum?
It's only for full retail releases, I guess. That's a shame. Yeah.
Online multiplayer is good.
Is it?
Yeah, works well.
Did you get achievements for online multiplayer? Is that what you had
one
to
of the
it?
Achievements is the online multiplayer. Play it, basically. Okay. It was the last one I didn't have. So.
So you got it and bagged yourself a gold.
And really enjoyable.
Cool.
I will be playing more of that wonderful game, I'm sure, but now probably not in single player.
No.
I don't see any real incentive. There's no incentive to play through the... Because I've got all the highest...
Have you unlocked all the cars?
Unlocked all the cars. I've got all the stars. Most I can get in every course.
Okay.
So all that's left is the multiplayer now.
Wow, okay.
So that was, what, 2 weeks?
It was, yeah. It was some serious gaming on your part. But I mean, you know, you didn't pay a full retail title for it.
The $11.99.
I'm just impressed that you completed a game. Like... That's what I'm blown away by.
You shouldn't be too impressed that I completed a racing game, Matthew.
I should. You unlocked everything.
Because I do complete racing games.
Yeah, but it's not like the level of complete that I count these. For those of you who don't know, previous listeners in the podcast, I like to stick on my games because I'm a bit of a sad act when it comes to completing my games. And
you haven't stickered anything lately.
I haven't stickered it. Well, I have. I've stickered a lot of Game Boy games.
Yeah, you're not stickered them.
Complete. Well, no, it's because that would be obscene. I've completed about 40 Game Boy games in the last couple of months. Which
no
is,
way.
Yeah.
40?
Everything I've recorded, bar about three, I've completed. And
but
that
you
is.
You haven't recorded 40, have you? Already?
I've recorded, at this current moment of podcasting, I've recorded 32. I have a back catalogue. And I've completed most of them bar three. And then I've played other ones and completed and thought, no, there's nothing really to talk about here, or they weren't completable in my eyes, such as something like Street Fighter, where you just play through it and go, oh, okay.
That's completable.
It isn't, because you don't unlock any characters on the Game Boy, so you just beat it to the end with all the characters, which is a bit of a chore, because the game's not really good. So, yeah, I've done a lot of Game Boy games. I mean, I was playing them before I started Biographic. Yeah. So, I mean, I completed a few then.
Well done.
I know. Well, that's besides the rest. That's besides the other things.
You've got no save points on a lot of these games, have you? You really just have to sit there and go at it.
Yes, you do. You have to plow through, as I did last night while playing Sunsoft's Looney Tunes, which was a joy.
Yeah.
And I'll find out about that on this week's Biographic out Friday.
It was hypnotic.
It was. You were there. You were mesmerised.
Even though I was ready for bed, long ready for bed, I don't know. Something about watching someone else really going for it and trying their all to try and complete a game, which is rather difficult, as that one
it was.
Seemed to be. It's very compelling. I can see why people will watch people's game feeds over Twitch,
yeah,
and you similar services like PlayStation.
Yeah, I should really just start Twitching these, because I mean, like, I'm playing them at pretty late hours, so I guess anyone interested in watching someone play Game Boy games would probably be up at those
times.
And I probably will if I get the HDMI Boy, which is currently on Kickstarter. You should go back at Kickstarter and just search HDMI, as in HD My Boy, and get a HDMI Boy. I backed it for a prototype.
Other people have. I ran into someone today at work who was also backing it.
Yes. Interesting. Was it our good friend Michael?
It was Bass.
Oh, really? Bass backed it.
He also said, Matthew Boyle, when are we having another games evening? Because he's waiting.
Yes, I know a lot of people are. Unfortunately, I have no time before Christmas. So we shall get on it after that. Yeah, so I backed HDMI Boy. It's on Kickstarter at the moment. I put down for a prototype because I'm very excited to play it. Essentially what this is a device that clips between both shells of your Game Boy, so you take your Game Boy apart, detach the ribbon cable, and then you clip the ribbon cable into this device which goes between them, as you say, like a sandwich, and then you can play HD Game Boy games on your TV. This will come in very handy for Biographic, so I'll be able to record stuff on there. It also means I get to record things while actually using a DMG, which will be a massive advantage on the GameCube controller, because sometimes the analog stick isn't perfect, and I think the D-pad's a bit wonkily placed on that controller.
It's not perfect, is
it? No, it's not, especially not for playing Game Boy games when the A button is huge and the B button's below it, but so you can't even really...
It's perfect for playing Smash Brothers, so much so Nintendo released this adapter, which I was just on Amazon earlier. Of course, Smash Bros. Big release last week.
Oh, is it? We're really bulleting through topics here. But yeah.
Do you like this?
Yeah, I do. It's fast paced.
So I saw on Amazon the bundle deal with the Smash Bros. Game for Wii U with the GameCube controller adapter.
Yes.
£100 Amazon were charging for this, whereas the other day I saw it was 50.
People want that adapter, Tom. I don't think it's Amazon. I think it's people selling it through Amazon.
It
they're charging
really
100.
Look like Amazon.
It sometimes says it if you click on the page, and then it'll say it's through another seller. Okay. It's just because Amazon wants to appear to have the item, even though it's a third-party seller. If it's a new item and someone's selling through Amazon, it lists as that price. I've had that happen a few times.
$99.99. Sold by select games.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
But this is the thing. There is a shortage of these GameCube adapters. As some of you out there listening will probably know, people who like Smash Brothers like playing with the GameCube controller. Can't understand why they're not willing to adapt.
Our good friend Austin was. So
he was.
Desperate he was to play the game. He downloaded it at an inflated price.
Yes.
But he was happy with his purchase. So.
Yeah. So happy to see that he's actually getting up an hour early before work now to play it instead
of
showering.
You know what time this gentleman gets up for work?
5:30. It's insane. He's actually waking up at 5:30 having breakfast and playing Smash for an hour.
I was over there. He invited me over for a cup of tea after work today.
Yeah.
And he was showing me the game. He only has one controller, so I wasn't playing it. And I actually had no interest in playing it. Far too tired to keep up with the game.
You were
like
purely
that.
A spectator.
But I was really interested to see the game. And wow, isn't it pretty?
It looks damned impressive.
Max can testify. Yeah.
I turned the game on the other day and I'd been used to playing a little bit of the 3DS one. And I went, wowzers, this looks good. Mm. Like, even the villager, like, who is a character you wouldn't really expect to look magnificent because he is a rather rounded, short Animal Crossing character when you see him from GameCube. He looks such a level of polish, and it almost looks realistic, even though it's a...
Yeah, they kind of look like, Austin points out to me, like amiibos.
Yeah, they do.
The visual quality of the character looks like it's been molded out of plastic.
It does. It's very odd. It's very beautiful. Unlike the amiibos, though, the game is very good.
Oh, Matt's severely disappointed these amiibos.
I'm so
pissed. He didn't quite understand the concept.
It's because it's a terrible concept. Like,
but I was well up on what they were doing with the amiibos.
I wasn't. I assumed that that was something you could do alongside their main function, which I assumed would be to save your character. So you could take your amiibo, much like a Skylander or a Disney Infinity character, around a friend's house and play with your save data.
But you do, don't you?
You play with your save data as a Pokemon. They're an assist. Yes, like an assist trophy.
Yeah, because otherwise what would they be?
I wanted them to be a record of my time playing Smash Brothers.
Okay, which would help you in what way?
It would be a record of all of the characters I unlock, all of my wins, all of my loses.
Oh, so you can continue your record if you play it on someone else's?
Yeah. Why not? Why isn't that a feature? Why is it something that's tacked onto the game that isn't needed? Like, I thought it was a way of customizing your own character, because when you get deeper into Smash, you can actually customize your Mario and stuff. You can give them different moves.
But then you can customize your amiibo character.
You can, but that's an assist. That isn't me playing the game. Like, if I could customize a villager so he gets different moves when he goes further into the game, so if I like his double jump ability, for example, I could then have a similar brawler-type character's moves. Then I would be good with that, but this is just pointless.
I really see the appeal of it. I see the idea of an extra level to the game.
I really don't. I've
been training up my guy now. He's level 15. Oh, mine's level 7. Oh, my guy's going to beat your guy. It's like
you've already
Pokemon.
Got assist trophies in the thing, though.
Yeah. But I'd be happy. But I think because I don't really like playing Smash Brothers,
it would
really help me to be able to have a computer-controlled character helping me out.
Perhaps. But why have they done this with the amiibos? What basis is this for people to get them is my thing. Why do you need...
So you bring them around to a friend's house. I'll bring my amiibo friend around.
Yeah, but that requires your friends to have them. Otherwise, they're going to go, fuck you, I don't want you having an advantage over me and not let you play it.
Yes, which means just rely on everybody having amiibos.
It relies on everyone having amiibos, whereas me bringing over my amiibo like a memory card, like I would playing Old Smash or playing Time Splitters or playing any game where my progress is saved, means that it's not an issue. Because I touch my amiibo, save my data, go away, and go, oh, great, I've played 100 matches, now I've unlocked the Duck Hunt Dog.
Yeah.
Because now this means I have to play 100 matches on my console, by myself, to unlock everything.
Well, whereas, you don't have to play it by yourself.
I can play multiplayer, but we're not going to play it here. Are you going to play 100 matches of Smash with me?
I'll play with you.
But my point is...
100, they'll mount up. You don't have to do it in one go.
But I want the characters. Like, I want to play as Duck Hunt Dog. Mm. Like, that is the character I want.
Yeah.
So I now have to play 100 matches to unlock the Duck Hunt Dog, which I'm going to have to...
It will happen eventually. You can wait. I can't wait. I need it.
I can, but it's like having a character in Street Fighter. If I want to learn that character, I then have to play 100 matches with characters I don't want to play.
There's so many to choose from, though. He's got to have other characters.
I want to play the Duck Hunt Dog.
Hey, this is heated.
I want to play this as the Duck Hunt Dog. Why can't I just take this round and when I unlock him, I can go, great, I got the Duck Hunt Dog now. I can play as the Duck Hunt Dog.
When do you think you'd be going around people's places playing Smash Brothers?
Every Thursday when the Smash Brothers on and you were sat in front of the television.
Sorry.
Much like I imagine other people will. They will be going to people's houses to play Smash Brothers with their friends and then they can't save the data because it's attached to
I didn't realise you suddenly into that.
I wanted to play with people. Yeah. And I imagine that is the big draw of Smash.
Of course,
is that people want to play with each other. It's not really a single player experience in my eyes now that they've taken the time mode, what's it called?
I don't know.
The emissary mode, I can't remember the full name of it. The one that's in Brawl.
That one, yeah.
Yeah.
Subspace
emissary, yeah.
Yeah. No, but you're joined the elite ranks of these guys. These are hardcore.
They're very good Smash players, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
because you can play it with me.
I come and play with you when I'm going to, but my point is, like, I want to play the Duck Hunt Dog. I want to get good with the Duck Hunt Dog because I've played him on our good friend Austin's 3DS. But this now means that I'm going to need to play 100 matches in the house.
Is it really 100 matches?
It's 100 matches to unlock a Duck Hunt Dog. He's the last unlockable character.
Mm. Just get Austin to do it for you.
I could do, but I'd have to play Austin. He's very good and I'm not, so...
Mm.
It's annoying that I can't save my match progress on the amiibo.
Okay. That's what we're trying to say here.
Yeah, but it means that there's no point to these figures. Like, it's great that you can do this pseudo Pokemon mechanic.
Kids might be into it.
Yeah, but I mean, in the grand scheme of the game, only a small portion of people, I think, playing that are going to do it. It's not entirely optional.
It's not essential.
It's not an essential thing, but I mean, like, doing that would have made more people buy it because then it'd be like a memory card and people understand that concept. Mm. Whereas I bought it and now I'm just like, oh, great, I'm going to use it.
Let's wait and see. Maybe Smash Bros. Isn't the game that's going to make the best use of the amiibos.
What is, though?
We'll have to wait and see. I think perhaps if the Pokemon fighting game ever gets released.
Yeah, but that would mean that you'd have to have like 20 for Pokemon.
Then you'd need to buy new ones for Pokemon,
I mean, like, you know, you can put them in Hyrule Warriors and get that fancy spinning top, or you can take them into Mario Kart and get a costume. But, like, why are you releasing a figure?
They're just figures with a few bonuses.
They are, but, bonuses. Like...
Collectible figures. You know, you could buy these collectible figures. Nintendo have always sold collectible figures.
If you're going to make a Toys to Life concept, make it part of the game. Make it like Skylanders. Give me a reason to buy them other than them looking nice.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're relying on. That is the sole...
They do look very nice.
They do. That is the business strategy, though. It looks nice, people will buy it.
You can collect
What's
them.
The point, though? Like, you could just release figures and they would do that. Like, yeah, I guess it's nice that they have bonuses, but, like, I'd rather they be bigger than what they are.
Let's wait and see. I know there's nothing on the horizon at the moment that sounds like it's going to make
I can't see
use
what would
it.
Be if Smash isn't going to take full use of them, which they're marketed as a Smash accessory.
They are, that's true.
Then what fucking point is there? Anyways, said my piece. It's a good game. Don't like amiibos. What else have you been playing other than looking at Austin playing Smash?
I've been playing Sonic Boom.
Wow.
For the Wii U. This game seems to have garnered a reputation among some people I know, and on the internet at least, as being not very good. I disagree.
I've watched the first hour of gameplay. I will hold my tongue because I haven't actually played it.
Yeah, it actually holds up better mechanically than Lost World.
Okay.
Consistently. Well, from what I've played about an hour and a half of the game, and so far, and my first impressions of Lost World were, it was constantly, my joy of playing the game was constantly interrupted by what I felt were really bad gameplay choices.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying Sonic Boom is a great, amazing piece of gaming that blew me away. It really didn't. It is on par with some of the, as I say, high tier PS2 platformers I've played, and no surprise considering the developer's heritage of being made up by, well, I think it was something like ex Naughty Dog developers, ex High Voltage Games. There's quite a few of these people who have previously worked on platformers.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's a very straightforward platformer. I've heard the gameplay doesn't really get any more interesting, but I enjoyed it, I have to admit.
But how long is that joy going to last, is my question.
We'll see, you know. The game is, I hope, full of different environments.
Yeah.
And I'd like the mechanic of working together as a team.
Yeah.
You know, you're always together with Tails, Knuckles, Amy.
Yeah.
The animation is really nice. Really nice, actually. The character actually controls better than, I say, Sonic did in Lost World.
Okay.
For me, what's lacking in the game is really, it doesn't feel very Sonic-y.
Yeah.
If Sonic-y can be coined as a phrase, Sonic-y to me is a particular type of music, a particular type of vibe, a feeling, which Lost World did have. And Sonic Colors did have, and Sonic Generations did have. This doesn't, but it's still Sonic and friends, and it doesn't it's got Metal Sonic in it, as he was. Yeah. That was quite cool. Seeing that old character design pop back up again, Shadow's in it. The story seems fine. The dialogue is sharp and well written. And
you think?
I thought.
I thought it was awful.
I thought it was fine. I thought
I thought it was trying to be Adventure Time too much without really getting what makes Adventure Time Adventure Time.
I didn't think
Time.
It was overly going that direction. I just thought it was pretty good.
Okay. Because my thing is here, and I bear in mind I have not really played either, and I hated Lost World.
Well, no, you did.
At least Lost World.
I completed Lost World. Actually.
Attempted to do new things.
There was that. It did try and innovate.
And I would say that from what I've seen.
New things. It tried to.
It did try to emulate Galaxy, but it tried to do new gameplay mechanics with
some
Sonic.
New ideas in it, yes.
Whereas this just looks like any game that I've played on the PS2.
Yeah. And yeah, fair to say. I have to say, I liked it. For me, it was not too taxing. It was a bit. You know, I'm actually quite happy, I realised this, with just controlling a character, making him jump around.
Okay.
I simple things for simple minds, perhaps, but I'm not saying this because I really like Sonic, purely. Of course, that helps with the charm and the interest in the game, but okay, it's fine. I'll play more of it, for sure. I'll go back to it. I like a simple, straightforward platformer every now and again.
But it just looks mundane. Like, it's not that I don't get it's a simple platformer. Like, I played Woolly World, and Woolly World is essentially Yoshi's Story.
Yeah.
And I played that, and I thought, well, you know, it's not really breaking any new ground. Mm. Mm. But there was charm to it, and it did some really nice things and some little mechanics I didn't expect. And I thought, oh, that's nice.
This game isn't without its charm. I think it would be harsh to say it has no charm, because it certainly does. The characters come alive, and I think...
But I would argue that is more in the cutscenes and the dialogue rather than the gameplay. Whereas Woolly World, obviously, despite the aesthetic of it being all woolly, did cool things. Mm. Like, you could argue how new they were, but they felt fresh within the context of what it was.
Yeah.
From what I saw of Sonic, it could just be any PS2 game.
It could be fresh, so to speak. It looks nice enough and plays nice enough. And I just wanted to reiterate, you know, I don't think it's a bad game. I think maybe people's standards of games are so high nowadays that anything that doesn't hit the dizzy heights of some of the amazing games that actually have been released on Wii U.
Yeah.
We're talking Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, or maybe Rayman Legends, if we're in the same ballpark here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not those games, but it's not a bad game either.
But I mean, I guess people are criticizing it so much because in a time of economic recession, and we are fortunate enough to be able to buy video games as much as we want, which some people aren't, you can understand their frustration that a game perhaps they've been looking forward to isn't a great game.
Should made my expectations Sonic games incredibly low right now.
I think they are, like,
Because
as you've said, like, I've been playing some pretty challenging and broken, in some cases, Game Boy games recently, and I've kept on going for the sake of doing the reviews. But there's something to them. I glean something out of them, and the same can be said for the PS2 platforming games I seem to be condemning. I can glean something from watching them, or I can glean something from playing them of, like, oh, that's an interesting choice there, what they did. From what I saw of the first hour of Giant Bomb's Quick Look, nothing really inspired me. There was run levels that reminded me a lot of the first Sonic the Hedgehog from 2006, the demo, so than the game. And then the puzzle bits seemed really tedious, and the fact that you had to do it with all four characters. And then there was just a 2D fight where the camera was fixed and you couldn't really get a view of what enemies were off screen.
I didn't find any problem with the fighting mechanics. It's fairly straightforward. I don't know what more I could say about the game other than it's not that bad, and maybe people shouldn't be so hard on it. If they don't like that sort of thing, then don't play it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's not that people don't like that sort of thing. I think they expect more from certain games than others.
Yeah, but I don't anymore.
Okay, fair enough.
Sonic, yeah. Well, Lost World, really. If I compare the two, that really disappointed me. Because that had all the elements in place. He just messed it up.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a different beast. It isn't trying to push itself too hard.
Should that be celebrated?
Yeah, like... but in doing so, it actually is playable.
Okay.
the fact that it's scaled back and it isn't overly ambitious, and the fact that they get it right. Sonic controls much better than he did in Lost World.
Yeah.
There's actually a little bit of innovation in the lasso mechanic.
Yeah.
It's quite cool when you have this little twist on the grind rail thing where it's a lasso rail and you swing round the rail, and that was pretty cool. And the visuals accompanying that was quite impressive. Okay, so maybe it's too early for me to say what I think this game's... I can say it's good. From what I've experienced, that's all I'm going to say. It's not bad and not as frustrating as Sonic Lost World, but it's not as ambitious. But maybe that's to its credit.
Okay.
There we are. Should we move on?
Yeah, I think so. It kind of goes back to what I was saying last week of like when I was playing Asterix. It wasn't really a bad game once you learned how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But this doesn't seem to be a bad game because it's just treading safe waters. And I guess mechanically then it's sound, but should it be crucified for not trying anything new? Is there something to be said, as you're saying, for a game that doesn't try to break new ground and is just functional? And are people expecting more than that?
As long as it's still enjoyable.
Yeah, but this is...
As long as it's still got some spark of life in it. And at least this game does. It's not a dead... What would you say?
A husk of a game.
A dead horse or something. It is alive. It has got something to it. And it's backed up by some, rather generic but still enjoyable gameplay.
Okay. Which did you prefer, the 3DS game you played in the demo or the Wii U full release?
I think they're actually very similar, having now played Sonic Boom on the Wii U in terms of their gameplay, that they do rely heavily on the team aspect and swapping between the characters, different things. They're very different types of games. Of course, the one on the 3DS is a 2D side-scrolling platformer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think so. Maybe the 2D one's slightly better.
Okay.
Because there are little weird things about Sonic Lost World which don't really hamper my enjoyment of the game, but they don't make much sense. For example, there's lots and lots of rings in the game, to the point where I go around collecting these rings. I can only get 100.
Yeah. And
I don't have opportunities to lose them.
Yeah.
So that seems pointless and not sure why.
But they act as like a health meter, right? Like there's not like the usual Sonic mechanic of one hit and then you lose all your rings. You just get hit and then it takes some rings off.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it works. But you'll find yourself, there's too many rings to ever feel like you're in any kind of danger at this point in the game. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it's too early to say exactly
how
great this game is or how not great it is.
Play some more of it and then I guess we'll find out on this week's podcast.
Yeah, I could turn around and say, oh my gosh, this game doesn't get any more interesting than the first hour and a half. I'm bored to tears. Oh dear, forgive me, it's not that great. I could end up saying that. And I'm not ruling it out.
I'm not sure if you will, because based on what you said, I'm not sure you will. But to me, even that first hour and a half looked very repetitive.
I didn't find it repetitive.
And even with amusing commentary, I kind of got a bit bored watching it.
Tell you one thing that isn't amusing about the commentary is a constant. I'd say in the in-game commentary from the characters.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's what I'm saying about the writing though. Like
that was dodgy. The actual cutscenes, I thought were quite watchable. I didn't feel like I wanted to skip them.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
I like seeing Metal Sonic being cool.
I'd argue that that's because of your nostalgia for Sonic. Anyways, we'll find out next week. Play some more of it and see on Sunday's podcast. If you've played it, let us know on Facebook at facebook.com/TomOnMattAttack or Twitter at TMAcast. If you have anything to chip in on the debate of is a good game one that is enjoyable, that tries new things and perhaps fails at those, or if there is something to be said for a game that just sticks to its guns and functions, then also please let us know about that. Anything else?
Have I played anything else, Matthew? Yes. Well, you ask a very interesting question there. Draw something doesn't count, does it?
No, I don't think so. I've been playing an app.
Oh, Kirby. Yeah.
A bit of Kirby. Kirby Dreamland 3. Dreamland 3.
Always like coming back to that. That's a nice, simple platformer.
It is a nice, simple platformer.
It has got some weird ideas.
It's got some crazy ideas. So it's the second and first one, but yeah. I played a bit of Crossy Road. This is a game making the rounds. Crossy Road.
Crossy Road.
Yeah, it does sound like it was named by a four-year-old or me.
Crossy
but
Road.
It's called Crossy Road. And this is a game developed by a company called Hipster Whale. And I will say it is a free-to-play game. And I must make that known at the start because while I'd heard that the free-to-play aspect of it isn't that intrusive, like, you can still play the game and it still functions fine without paying any money. But essentially, the money comes in unlocking characters and kind of does horrible things in a Farmville-esque way to get you to earn in-game currency to buy more characters, which come out of, like, a gashapon machine. And that is like, hey, watch this trailer for this app, or watch this film trailer. And
that
then, like, every couple of hours, it goes, hey, you've got a free gift. And then you get money, and then you can buy stuff from the gashapon machine just to make sure you don't delete the app.
Hmm.
And that kind of annoys me. And the fact that, like, I installed it on my girlfriend's phone, and then it keeps doing it. Like, every now and again, it'll make a noise. And we're like, oh, God, not again. That really annoys me. And that's almost made me delete the app, despite my enjoyment of it. However, Crossy Road is an endless runner, but it's an endless version of Frogger. So you are essentially crossing as many roads as you possibly can to get to the other side. And you start as a chicken, which I thought was quite amusing.
You tell me about this game.
Yeah, I have. You start as a chicken because why did the chicken cross the road? And then the first thing you unlock is a frog, which I thought was quite interesting.
Hedgehog?
No hedgehog yet, actually. Mm. There's loads of weird art things, and like, I'm currently playing as a robot, a rusty robot who spouts out oil, which is kind of cool. It's got a really nice aesthetic. It's very kind of Minecraft, very cubey.
Uh-huh.
But it's good. There's not really a lot I can say about it. It's Endless Frogger. One thing that kind of annoys me about it is, to control it, you tap the screen to go forward, or you tap the bottom of the screen to go back, and then you swipe left and right, depending on which direction you want to go. Because it is an Endless Frogger game, and because you were generally playing it in a horizontal way, so you know, you're playing it like you'd hold an iPhone, you tapping the up top of the screen generally means you're obscuring where you need to go,
That old
which means you're dying. And, like, if you're tapping then the side of the screen, which I was kind of in front of me, then you're in very much danger of swiping and then getting run over.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the controls are that great. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've seen it sung its praises, much like Threes was, of all of Polygon and Kotaku and all of these going, oh, bless this indie darling. And I don't think it's really worthy of that praise. I think it's kind of a weird Flappy Bird-like phenomenon that has kind of blown up in the indie games industry and really is just a splash in the pan, because it is a fun game. However, it's not great. Yeah, you shall have to play it after this podcast, and then you can let us know on Sunday what you thought of it. But it's all right. I can't rave about it. I'm not going to do the insane thing that everyone else on the internet seems to be doing. And go, oh, it's amazing, because I honestly think it's a good idea, but I prefer if it was on a controller. Like, I prefer to have a thing in my hand where I could literally just do an Endless Frogger, and that would probably take the fun out of it. So I don't know. Again, mechanically dubious, but fun concept, so I don't know really where I stand on it, but it's all right. And then I played a bit of Shovel Knight on the Wii U.
You did.
Oh my, Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Yes, I finally got around to playing Shovel Knight after you bought it. You previously talked about it on this podcast.
Mm.
I really like Shovel Knight. Like, surprise, surprise. It's a homage to games I have long loved.
You got further than me, actually.
As Mega Man and many others. The fact that the first boss in the game is like a Black Knight and he does a Kefka from Final Fantasy VI laugh was just kind of a, oh, I fucking love this game moment of just him going, I was like, okay, I'm sold on this game, it can do no wrong. And the difficulty curve seems there, the aesthetic's there, the writing's brilliant, and it's generally fun.
Yeah, beat the Grim Reaper boss. That was quite a good, tough boss battle.
Very
not overly, but
reminded me
enough of
a cross between a Castlevania boss fight and a Mega Man boss fight, which is something I didn't realise I wanted in my 2D platformers. Now something I'm going to look for in my 2D platformers because it was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. I felt a great sense. It's a game that gives you a sense of achievement because it isn't a walk in the park, but it seems to have a steady difficulty curve as well.
And it seems pretty fair. Yeah. Like, that's my thing with it. Like, a lot of these games that I've been playing, these 8-bit
so
titles
far.
That I've beaten, have been fun, but sometimes very annoying in the fact that you'll, like, walk onto a screen and you automatically get shot, and then you're like, shit, I gotta remember as soon as I walk into the screen, I'm gonna get shot. This game doesn't really do that. Like, sometimes it'll establish a gameplay mechanic by having like a mini boss thing that it often does, like the dragons on the first level that shoot this thing, and you jump in, you go, oh shit, it gives you a lot of time to do it, and then you go, okay, well, it's going to fire these beams and they're going to do the same thing, and generally gives you a sense of how to beat each enemy before you tackle it, which I really liked. Bosses, as you say, very challenging. The kind of village hub world and the collectible aspect of collecting like music scores and stuff, I thought was very cool.
Yeah, it was all right because I don't usually like the sort of things where you have to talk to people, but it was funny what they were saying, so I didn't mind that so much.
As we discussed, there's a frog in a basement that says puns.
Yeah,
and he has a lot.
And
of
he's
puns.
Got a lot of puns. You know, just it surprised me at how many times you could talk to him and he'd come out with a new pun. It seemed endless.
Well, I think that's beautiful. I think that kind of shows the attention to detail that the Yacht Club has given this game. And I'm very excited to play more. Hopefully I will for the next podcast.
Yeah.
Any more from you?
I can't say I've actually played any more video games this last week.
I don't think I have either.
Toy Box Turbos has been my game of choice, as I say, for the past 2 weeks now. And now I've completed it, I think I'll play some other games. I actually did finish off the level I'd started on Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Yeah. Great. You shot a few people.
I did. I shot a few people.
I also played...
And it was bloody.
I played Battlefield 4 online and it was also shooting people.
And,
though very nice maps. The Final Strike, I think the last expansion is called, very cool, but I'm going to talk about that in more length next week because I'm going to go play some now.
Oh.
Okay. If you guys... Oh, actually, should we talk about the releases before we go? You've got the releases there. No, okay, don't worry.
I can.
No,
I've just
right.
got them here.
Don't stress. We can do it on Sunday. It's all right. They'll all be out this week, anyway. Okay. Well, if that's it from me and you, I guess then. Until next week.
Well, that sounds very vague.
It does.
It sounds like if I guess. Okay. Well.
Okay.
Let's...
Well, we will be back on Sunday as promised. Not 2 days late as we are now. So if you like this podcast still, we're sorry. We'll buy you chocolates and give you roses.
If you enjoyed that conversation, that discussion.
Yeah, please chip in at TMAcast on Twitter or facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. Also, give us a cheeky review in iTunes while you're at it, just so we know you're all alive. And let us know if you like the podcast, if we've changed the dynamic, if we've broken your heart by being 2 days late, then you can let us know in iTunes and also in Stitcher.
If you'd like us to stop talking about Sonic.
If you would like us to stop talking about Sonic, because, I mean, Sonic don't run, then you can do that in any of those sources. The next podcast will be released on Sunday, we promise. So until then, game on.
Game on.